Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about common mini cycles that we sometimes get stuck in, the ones that I see the most. It's possible as you're working, to move around all of the stages that you can get stuck in just two or three stages and to just be looping between them over and over again. So we're going to be talking about why that happens, what that looks like, and how to solve that. Before we do, a quick shout out to listeners, new listeners in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Yes, West Virginia. Gorgeous. Thank you for this connection. Thank you for being here. We're so excited to have you on board. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, you can use the link in the show notes and let me know how I can help. So, mini cycles, these are diabolical. They don't have the stagnation that we often feel in when we're stuck in just one stage. You might just be stuck in one stage, and then you feel stagnant. It feels like you're in a rut. But when you're stuck between two or three stages and you're looping between them, you may not notice. This may not be obvious. So we're going to talk about some of the more common ones today. And you want to catch yourself if you're swirling around between two or three different stages, unable to move on. So we're going to talk about four of the most common mini cycles that you may notice in yourself and other people, where they came from, how they happen, how to recognize them, and how to get out of it. So let's start with the first one. You can get stuck between stages two and three. Two being about experiences and letting go of experiences, and three being about needs. And this is characterized best in two different characters that you see: the trauma victim, if you've just experienced a trauma, or the high school hero, right? We all know somebody who peaked in high school and can't quite let it go. So how does this happen between experiences and needs, stage two and stage three? See, when a major event occurs in your life, whether it's good or bad, it's easy to become stuck in stage two, telling yourself stories about the event. You're reliving it over and over, and you're solidifying it ultimately as part of your identity as opposed to letting it go. So you might just get stuck in stage two, but every new phase of life, every experience comes with new needs or a new priority order on your needs. So your needs may have changed. And you'll be bounced to stage three to meet those needs. But you're unable to let go of the identity of the victim or the hero, and you're back to stage two without meeting your needs. So you're back to stage three in a desperation to have your new needs or new priority of needs met. And you keep going back and forth. You can't let go of the experience, but it's changed your needs, but you're so identified with the experience, but your needs have altered, and you're back and forth, and neither one of these tasks, neither one of these stages gets satisfied. You don't let go of the identity of this event, but you also don't meet your needs. So you're just back and forth. So what can you do? The answer is to meet your needs. Right, you thought I was going to say the answer is to first let go of this identity of this experience. No, and I'll tell you why. Because needs have a lot more gravity than experiences do. Needs in the mind are about survival. So number one, you want to understand what your new priority of needs is, understand what any new needs that didn't exist before that you might have now, and meet those needs. Meet your needs. That is the first thing you want to do. Then craft a new identity, because you have to let go of this identity as the victim or as the hero. You don't want to leave a void of no identity at all. We need an identity. We need a persona just to get through the day. So craft a new one that doesn't include that, and make sure that your new one is crafted in stage four, in service to others. And that will kick you forward into stage four with an identity that's focused around the needs of others. Now, as you do that, that's going to give you a certain level of momentum. So use that and keep moving forward into stage five, where you're going to have to consider how your recent experiences shaped your beliefs. And are there any new beliefs you want to include in your principles, or do you want to update your principles, or maybe not? Maybe this experience gave you a bunch of beliefs that don't serve you and you want to get rid of them all. That's fine too. So you can consider that in stage five and then keep it moving forward. Keep it moving. Because if you don't, you might get stuck in our second mini cycle I want to talk about, which is stages three and four. Three, which is needs. Four, which is others. I call this mini cycle between three and four the martyr. And this is a classic mini cycle characterized by the American mother of small children, and possibly in other countries as well, but I see it here so freaking often. And a lot of other people can get stuck in the martyr cycle as well. So in this cycle between stages three and four, your unmet needs call to you while you focus on putting everyone else's needs first. Sound familiar? So ultimately, your needs never get met. And sometimes they're never even identified. You may be in this scenario and somebody might say, what do you need? And you'd be like, I don't know. Because you don't know. You honestly don't know. You never had a chance to even sit down and think about what your needs are. You never gave yourself a chance to sit down and think about what your needs are. So they don't get met. And then that's going to pull you back to this desperation in stage three of unmet needs. And the longer they go unmet, the more desperate it feels. And the burnout is harder every time. But my family comes first. Or whoever. And back to stage four you go until your burned out self cries for its needs again. So what's the answer here? The answer is to meet your needs first. And then meet the needs of everyone else, while working towards your own continual evolution. So number one, many people in this situation, in the martyr situation, they get burned out and they will cry out to have their needs met. I mean, literally, they'll post it on social media. They'll just say it out loud to the people that they love. And you'll even hear them say, when am I going to be the priority? Well, you're going to be the priority when you decide you're the priority. Nobody else is going to decide you're the priority. See, what happens here is you love these people, whether that's your family or the charity you're working with or whatever. You love them, so you serve them, and you keep hoping that one of these people that you serve will choose to serve you and take care of your needs and make your needs a priority like you make their needs a priority, but it doesn't happen, does it? It doesn't happen, and then you wonder if you're loved and you feel unworthy. It's a really ugly cycle, because what do you need? You need love. You need to be a priority, but the person you need to be a priority to is yourself. So you will be a priority when you decide you're a priority. Then they will decide that you're a priority. And you meet your needs first. I don't care what. I don't care what the societal standards are. You meet your needs first, because if you don't, you have nothing to give them. You are bankrupt in your soul. That's a harsh way to put it, but it's the truth. It's the reality. It took me forever to figure that out. So meet your needs first, and then meet the needs of everyone else. Because now you've got something to give. Your soul is full. And you give of yourself. And then you go back and you fill it up. And then you give. And then you go back and you meet your needs. And then you give. And now at the same time, while you get a little momentum here with your needs being met, keep that momentum moving forward so that you don't get stuck. And don't forget to meet your own needs, or you're going to be right back in the martyrdom cycle. So let's talk about the next one that you can get stuck in. It's not 4-5, but 5-6. 5-6. 5 is ideology, and 6 is live and let live, but it's still underlying within a ideological self. So 5-6. I call this mini cycle the news hound. And there are more people in the United States as of this recording in this mini cycle than in any other. And in this mini cycle, you are deep in stage 5, focused on your ideology. You're feeling angry and offended at the other side, whoever that other side is. It might be the political other side, or the religious other side, or the social other side. But it's you and it's them. It's us and it's them. And there's a lot of anger and offense, but the anger and the fear and the offense are exhausting. You ever tried to stay that way for very long? It's completely exhausting. It drains you. And you sort of give up. And that, you give up being angry. You give up being offended. And that lands you in stage 6, live and let live. And at that point, you know, you're still identified by your ideology, but you just kind of hope that your good example will show everybody else how to live. You know, that's why in the poem for stage 6, it ends with, "Thank God you have me to show you the way." So you end up in stage 6, and you kind of rest for a while, and you give up on taking any real action about it, but then you see the news again, and then you're right back in stage 5, defending your ideology. So the answer here is to actively abstract your ideology to the level of principles. Now, once you have a consistent set of principles, you will naturally click over to stage 6, live and let live, and stay there. And then the key is, as usual, keep going, keep the momentum going, and do the homework for stage 6, and kind of move on stage 7, stage 8, and so forth. So, but this is the most common mini cycle, and I see it. It's just everywhere in many Western countries today, many developed Western countries today. And so the answer is very simple. You know, Ray Dalio kind of put it best, not in this context, but his book Principles is a really good book to help you get from beliefs or issues to principles. And let's talk real quick about how you do that. So to take your beliefs up to the level of principles, you're just abstracting them, right? So you take some issue that you believe strongly in. Just pick a really divisive one. It doesn't matter. You can start heavy or you can start small, right? So you can pick kind of whatever political issue of the day, like immigration or taxes or whatever. It doesn't matter. But pick one, you know, that you feel fairly strongly about, and then ask yourself, you know, what's your opinion on that subject? And then abstract it. Why do you have that opinion? You're not trying to change your opinion. You're just exploring why you have it to get to the real root of why you feel that way. So don't feel threatened, as you may feel in stage 5. Don't feel threatened. Why do you feel that way? And you'll answer yourself why you feel that way. And then ask again, well, why is that, right? Well, you'll say, well, because whatever. So let me walk through a quick example. So once you've asked the question why 3, 4, 5 times, then you'll get to the real root of your belief. That is your principle. So let me walk through an example. If you are currently in stage 5, please do not feel offended. I'm going to pick one at random. In fact, right now I am going to go pull up a news site, and just to make sure it's absolutely random, I'm going to pick the first, second, third, pick a number, 7th headline, something political. Okay, here we go. Border wall, open borders. So this is a United States issue, but, you know, open borders issue. Pretty common. So let's do that one. So suppose you felt that borders should be open. Come and go as you please, whatever. You might ask yourself, why? Why do you feel that way? And what you might get to after you ask yourself why, you might say, well, you know, because doesn't everybody deserve a chance to build a life for themselves? Ah, okay. Now we have a principle, and your principle of doesn't everybody deserve a chance to build a life for themselves, or you could even abstract from that, you know, all life deserves a chance or some such, and then you say that is your principle, and that principle informs your belief about your policy on borders, but it probably informs several other beliefs as well. Now, that principle of doesn't everyone deserve a chance may inform 3 or 4 or 5 of your beliefs, right? So that's where principles, you're going to have far fewer principles than you have issues of belief and beliefs. They're much easier to keep track of. And if you can create some consistency and look for any hypocrisy that you may have in your principles, and you might have spotted one or two right there already, then that's even more helpful. So at least you can be consistent. But that's what you do to get out of this mini cycle of 5-6-5-6, the news hound. And also, putting aside the headlines for a little while you do this exercise will be hugely helpful. Okay, let's talk about another one. 5-6-7. Ideology, live and let live, existentialism, questioning everything. 5-6-7, I call this the political existentialist. The political existentialist, this is a diabolical trap. And I had never witnessed this one before, so I'm not going to call this one common, but I had not witnessed it until I observed actor Jim Carrey. And so I'm going to credit Mr. Carrey for making me aware of this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I enjoy your work. And so maybe we can help him here as well. And maybe this is you too. So I have watched him trapped in this cycle, 5-6-7, 5-6-7, for years now. It's hard to watch. I want to help. So Mr. Carrey, this is for you. In this mini cycle, you begin in stage 5, deep in your ideology, lashing out at the opposition in a bid to activate change. Feels a little bit good. Feels powerful, that anger, doesn't it? But as above, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. So you click over into stage 6, somewhat giving up. Live and let live. Okay, you know what? Whatever. And you hope maybe your good example will lead to change. But it doesn't, does it? And then you really give up and you enter the dark night of the soul yet again. What's the point? Why bother? But you've been to later stages before. You've been, because I've heard the way that you speak. 7 is not the furthest you've ever gotten. You have seen 9, maybe 10, at least 9. You wish you could get back there, but you're just stuck in this loop. So in an attempt to get out of stage 7's special existential hell, you decide to take action. Good idea. Action normally will help you get out of stage 7. But the action you take is flinging yourself back into stage 5 to fight the good fight yet again. Now, the idea to use decisive action to get out of stage 7 is spot on. However, the use of ideological action is the problem that keeps you trapped in this loop. The answer is to do the work. As usual, abstract your ideology to the level of principles. Get to the point where your principles are at least consistent. Then do the stage 6 homework to see your own humanity and the humanity of others. And then, lastly, you're going to have to approach stage 7 again. But this time, make fun out of stage 7. Have fun questioning everything. And use it to design a new phase of life for yourself that is more in line with how you actually want your life to feel. Because I'm hoping and I'm betting it's not anger. So design a new phase of life. Consciously create a new phase of life to get yourself out of this cycle that you're in. Now, does that mean that you can't feel purposeful in trying to create change? Sure. If change is your purpose, even if political change is your purpose, that can follow you to stage 8, and that's cool and that's good and that's fine, but you've got to do it in a way where you're not trapped in your ideology, where you're not identified with your ideology. You are instead identified with your purpose. And even then, move it forward from there so that you're not bringing anger and offense into your work. So that is the political existentialist. So are you trapped in a mini cycle right now? It's time to do your homework and move forward, right? Remember, the theme here is in each of these mini cycles. If you feel like you're just going back and forth between the same couple of stages, 2-3 stages, do the work. Push pause on everything as much as you can and take a little time each day to do the work. Meet your needs. Understand how you're identifying yourself, basis for your identity. Elevate your beliefs to the level of principles and use momentum. Keep it moving forward. All right. Oh, that's some heavy stuff. So make sure you don't get stuck in a mini cycle. If you see some other mini cycles, let me know. And let me know how I can help. That's enough for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as always, I'm wishing you Purna Asati. Complete connection.